How many people have your Bible today? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Look how beautiful this is in here. Glory to God. Amen. You may be seated. There are certain times when something that happens through the week will be on my mind to a point to where God works with it and leads me to a scripture, and it becomes the subject that I know that He wants to be taught and preached upon. There are certain times that you're reading in the Word and He lets you read over something. He reveals something that you know it's the time to be spoken, and it's what the church body needs to hear. And then there are other times. It comes in different ways, but I have to tell you that the Lord woke me up the other morning about 2:00 in the morning. Weirdest thing. Not that He woke me up, but I sleep through the night until if I get a phone call, I can wake up or something. But I'm pretty good. Just when I shut my eyes, and my dad said, "This is a blessing. You don't know how lucky you are or blessed you are." But when I shut my eyes, I don't wake up until the next morning. I woke up from a dead sleep the other morning, about 2 a.m., with a scripture on my mind. And I got up and thought about that scripture, stood up, walked in, walked back out, and I thought, okay, well, this is just God's doing. You don't wake up with a scripture on your mind that's random from somewhere. So I realize it must be what He's wanting us to hear. And it's one verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Paul said, verse 1, Ephesians 4:1. When you find your place, say, "I have it." Ephesians 4:1. Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." What a powerful verse. It's a charge. It's a command that's given by Paul. But it's going to talk about one of the things that we misunderstand so much, and that is our calling. So many of us are resigned to the thought that, okay, yes, the pastor has a calling. The evangelist has a calling. The missionary has a calling. So they need to pay attention to this. I'm here to tell you today that we all have a calling. And each one of us in here have received at least 2 callings, but maybe 1,000. Before you tune me out, I want to explore all sides of this calling today in as timely a manner as we can, because I think it's so important. The scripture here says that we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So we understand, first of all, you know this, you've filled out the form before. What is your vocation? Somebody tell me. Short word, 3-letter word. It's job, J-O-B, it's your job, your vocation. And before we start, I'm going to tell you that, do you know, this is Paul saying, "I, the prisoner of the Lord." You say, "Well, I don't like that language. That doesn't sound good. That's not politically correct. We don't want to translate God like that. We don't want to say that we're a prisoner of God." He's saying, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord," like he's locked into the Lord and he can't get out. Paul's not saying this is a bad thing. He's not saying it is a bad thing. He said, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord," because, well, the alternative is being a prisoner of the sin that had him before the Lord rescued him. So he said, "I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord." He wasn't ashamed of it. Amen. "Beseech you." That means I beg you. Was he serious? Yes. "To walk worthy of the vocation." Now, vocation, you told me it meant what? Somebody remind me. The job. Now, if I were to tell you, for you to live a Christian life that's pleasing to God, you need to look at your Christian walk like a job. There'd be so many that are highbrow people that would disagree with me. Don't look at your Christian walk like a job. That's not the way we want to represent it. We want all these people to come to Jesus and tell them that they can tiptoe through the tulips and sing kumbaya on their way to being able to love each other and come in here and do this and that. No, listen, sometimes your Christian walk is a job. Not according to me, but according to him. Walk worthy of the job. Is it a job? Yes. But you're only thinking about it in a negative sense. The only reason this generation would pick it up and the social correctness of the generation would pick it up and say, don't look at it as a job, is if you're somebody that doesn't like jobs. Because a job is good. Amen. What's wrong with Paul saying my Christian walk is a job? Well, that's only somebody that doesn't want to work thinks job's bad. Paul said, I've got a job. I'm employed. And I'm going to tell you, if you look at it like a job, you'll understand that it's got the greatest pay and the benefits are out of this world, right? So understand this. Paul makes no mistake in his wording here. Yeah, he considered himself a prisoner of the Lord, and he said, walk worthy of the job that you're called to do. I want to start by talking about this calling, the way that we maybe misunderstand it. Sometimes as Christians, we look and we say, well, I haven't really received my calling. I haven't really known what God wants me to do. So we tried to clear the air the last month or so. Remember, I've told you, what's the one thing first that God wants you to do? Before anything else, what does he want you to do? Love him back. In loving him back, you're going to glorify him with whatever you do. But he just wants you to love him back. And then you'll begin to see your callings. But a calling doesn't have to be to go 1,000 miles away. A calling doesn't have to be to start a ministry here in church. A calling doesn't have to be that. Do you realize you have a calling every day that you're a Christian father? A calling every day you're a Christian mother? A calling every day you're a Christian husband? A Christian wife? A coworker to somebody? A neighbor to somebody? A teacher to somebody? A friend to somebody in school? A roommate to somebody? Your calling is every day in your ministry to whoever it is. It's not that you receive this call to the ministry. Your call to the ministry, everybody receives. But it's not like we think. I talk to a lot of people that are trying to, they'll be getting close to the Lord and they're saying, I'm just looking for what God wants me to do, and it's this doesn't seem to be working out. So I want to redefine that, because we're going to begin our stay-at-home mission this week, and we're going to do some inconvenient things. We're going to do some laborious things. We're going to do some things that we wouldn't choose to do on a 92-degree day. But it's the job that's in front of us, right? So I want to take you back, because I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to see some examples in the Bible. If you were to go back to Genesis chapter 6, you can just write this on your notes, because I'll go through this. You won't get to look at it. But Genesis chapter 6, there was a man named Noah. Does anybody know what Noah was called to do? Somebody tell me. Build an ark. Build an ark in the middle of the desert, in a place where it's never even rained. Of course they haven't had floods, and they're so far away from a body of water. Do you think Noah embraced this and said, yippee? No, he said, what's an ark? And I'm going to build it. And how do you think his family felt? You know, the Bible tells us they came by and they made fun of him as he was building this. Do you think the family at some point said, hey, Pop, listen, the kids are talking about me, and, you know, the neighbors, and they're not calling me to circle meeting, and I can't go into this group and everything because they think you've gone off your rocker. You're building an ark, and nobody even knows what an ark is. Was this what Noah would have wanted to do? No. And then in Genesis chapter 12, he calls a man named Abraham, who finally had it going on. Had his sheep, his flocks, he'd raised up in his dad's house. And God says, Abraham, get thee up out of thy country and go to where I tell you to go. And didn't even tell him where he was going. Is that something that Abraham said, well, hey, this will be wonderful for me? No. Was it God's calling? Yes. But he couldn't look at it like it was the most convenient thing that was going to happen. And then, of course, we read about Moses. And we know a lot about Moses because we read that story. But you'll see in Exodus chapter 3, somewhere around the first of it, maybe verse 4, you know what God does? God calls Moses out of a burning bush. How many people remember God calling Moses out of a burning bush? Moses! Moses! Now, did he tell Moses what he wanted to do? Nope. He just called him. Now, that's the first kind of calling. That's the call to get your attention. Do you realize that Moses had to answer that call before any other call could come? Now go with me where I'm going with this. He had to answer that call first. So Moses answered that call. He took off his feet, his shoes, because he was on holy ground. And then in verses 7 through 10, God explained what he wanted Moses to do. He said, hey, Moses, I want you to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. God gave Moses instruction as to his part in God's plan. This was not just a call to get his attention. This was the call to service. So there was the first, the call to attention. Do that in the military, right? Attention. That means, listen, I'm talking to you. Don't talk anymore. Don't look anywhere else. Front and center. How many people have served in the military and you were called into attention? Anybody in here? Was that a time to be talking to somebody else? Was that a time to be finishing that joke? Was that a time to be talking about what you were going to do? No, it was a time to be attention. There's a call to what first? Attention. That's what God does first. Then there's a call to service. You don't say march before you say attention, do you? No, it would be backwards. But do you know that so many times we get it backwards? People think they can come in and just do these acts that look like they're serving God, but they've never answered the first call. Well, Moses, something neat about this call, just like Noah, just like Abraham, Moses was called by God to go back and stand in front of Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, you've messed up. You need to let all these people go. Well, a little backstory here. I don't know if you realize this, but in Exodus 2, if you were to read, say, verses 15 through 21, Pharaoh ordered Moses killed. That's why Moses left Egypt. So God's calling to Moses sounded something like this. Moses, what I would like you to do to carry out my plan is to go back and confront the king, the Pharaoh, the head of the country who has all power to kill you, who wants to kill you. Go stand in front of him. Do you think Moses said, hey, this will be great for me? No. Hey, it took a whole lot of trust for Noah, for Abraham, and for Moses to answer that call. You know, it didn't stop there, because there was a man named Joshua when they got to the promised land. Now listen, here's the bigger picture, because I'm going to walk you through it. In the middle of Moses' call, then God called about 2 million people to come to the promised land through Moses. So God said, hey, there's a land of milk and honey. I want you to go into it. So God called millions to this one direction. You remember that? When they got there, they didn't want to go over. Joshua and Caleb, we talked a little bit about that, but Joshua and Caleb said, hey, listen, we can go over. The rest of the people died. The other ones wandered. And then Joshua began to lead the children of Israel. And God said, hey, I'm going to call you into this place. And Joshua went, and it wasn't a calling that you would want to go, because Joshua saw those armies he was going to face. And Joshua took those men and told them, and you can read this sometime, go back to Joshua. He took those men and led them over into this place, and they had to leave their families on the other side. But it was God calling. And when they got over there, they went to this place called Jericho. And when they went to Jericho, he sent a couple of guys in first to scope it out. When they were scoping it out, some people got wind that they were in there. So they ran up into this lady's house, and this lady, well, she wasn't like the upper crust of society. She was what the Bible calls a harlot, a prostitute. Her name was Rahab. You know what she told these guys? She said, I've heard about your God, and I fear him. He's the one that opened the Red Sea for you guys to go across. He's the one that has all power. Listen, I want to do whatever I can to help you. So I'm going to hide you up on my roof under some stalks of flax. And listen, she risked her whole family's life. Is that what would have been best for her? No. But she trusted, and she told them, listen, I've trusted in the God that you serve. Would you spare my family? Her family was spared. You go on over, and once God sent these prophets to talk to those same children of Israel while they were in Canaan, there was this one particular prophet called Elijah. when you get over to learn about Elijah, you'll realize that when he came on the pages of Scripture, God sent him to a wicked king of Israel called Ahab. Ahab was building these temples to other gods and worshiping all these other things. And he had a wicked wife, and her name was Jezebel. And you know that story. And Elijah went and faced Ahab and said, Ahab, God says you're a wicked man. Until you change your ways, he's going to make it stop raining. And Elijah called for it to stop raining through the words of God. Listen, when it stops raining, everything dies. Livestock dies. All kind of your food supply dies. People die. And so everybody was upset. Elijah, mainly King Ahab, he put out a contract on his life. So anybody that saw him, you kill him. So guess what? When you get to chapter 18, guess what God says? Hey, Elijah, I want you to go see Ahab. Is that a calling that he wanted? No. Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. If you're looking for your calling according to what you think works out best for you, you're looking in the wrong place, because you won't see God in those things. God calls you into service at a place where you'll have to stretch your will, in a place where you'll have to sacrifice something, in a place where you'll have to get out of your own trust and fully trust Him. It happened with Noah. It happened with Abraham. It happened with Moses. It happened with Joshua. It happened with Rahab, and it happened with Elijah. And I've just begun. You go to the New Testament, He called 12 guys to be disciples, and they had to leave their ongoing profession in order to follow Him. And here's the promise He made to them. Hey, follow me. By the way, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. Come on, come on. We want it wrapped up, gift wrapped, put in front of us and said, hey, this is the greatest, hey, this is what, no, you don't find your way that way. I haven't found it. Find me somebody in the Bible through all these pages. Find me somebody that God said, I'm serving you a piece of pie. Here's your fork. Come and eat it. That's the way you need to go. Find it. It's not in here. We become soft. Me too. I talked about wandering last week. I could talk this week just about me not listening to my calling because it didn't suit me. Not just my call to pastor, that's evident. I walked away from it because, listen, it wasn't what I thought would work out best for me. And when I walked away from it, I wondered. It needs to really fit into my life a little bit better. It really needs to fit into my life a little bit better. I can't do this right now. I mean, I've got this going on, and I have these expectations. Song this morning, how timely. Sorrow has a way of changing your heart. Situation change. It has a way of changing you, doesn't it? To the point to where you just trust God. When you get to a place where you just don't have any peace because you haven't followed His calling, then you listen. Why? Because you're out of choices. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there? Our scripture in Ephesians 4:1, it comes after we talk about these disciples I mentioned last. He didn't promise them material possessions. He didn't promise them wealth. He didn't promise them fame. These guys walked with Jesus and saw the blessings of God. They led the most fulfilled lives of anybody that you could wonder just in 3 years. Just in 3 years. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. The vocation, the job, the duty. We're told to walk worthy of the vocation that we're called into. The vocation we're called into, listen, it's simple. It's our Christian life. A child of God. Our calling is the call of salvation that God called us to Him with. But then if we answer that calling, we're called to carry out or to walk in that calling. Today I'm talking about how you walk in your calling. You see, it's a little complex because There's some people that never answer the calling but think they can walk in a way to please the Lord. There's some people that answer the calling of salvation, but then after they answer the calling, they don't care about walking in the way of the Lord. They need it to fit their own way. And then there's some people that answer the calling of the Lord. And after they answer the calling of the Lord, they just feel blessed that the Lord would want them to do something. They're still in love with the Lord. So when he calls them to some kind of area of service, you say, well, listen, he hasn't called me to start this, and I'm not skilled in this, and I'm not skilled in this. Listen, I had a guy, watched a guy yesterday out my window for 4 hours when it was hot as it could be. He was called to wash the vans of the church because God laid on his heart, go clean them top to bottom. I watched him out there doing. You say, hey, is that like the calling to preach? It's just like it. It's a calling to service. You got people that are called to sign up for a nursery and wipe kids' bottoms and clean them up so their parents can be down here. You got people that are called to clean the toilets. You got people that are called to go out here and work in heat next week. You got people that are called. It's God's calling. Will it always be what tickles your fancy? No. If it is, there would be no sacrifice in the calling. We can't miss it. The blessing comes in the sacrifice. We're called to walk in our calling. So first we need to understand how God's calling works. God doesn't call you into service until you answer his call to come into fellowship. Let me say that again. God doesn't call you into service until you answer the call to come into fellowship. If someone wants you to be part of their organization or company, and they call you, they offer you a position in their organization or company. That is their call from them to you, showing their intent to have you to be a part of their organization or company. Has this ever happened to somebody? You've been called by somebody that wanted you to join their company? Anybody in here? All right, so that was their call. So where's the rest of you work? Right? Four of you has been called. How many people have received a call that says, yes, we'd like to give you a job? Right? That was their call to you. Now, understand, if you don't answer that call, if you don't respond to that call, or if you answer that call by saying, no, I don't want to join you, then you've refused the call. This could happen not just with work. It could happen with a team that wants you to be on it. It could happen by a school or college that wants you to be a part of it. If you don't respond, if you don't answer, you're not going to be a part of it. I used the marriage proposal in the early service. We had Hannah and Spencer that were here. First Sunday back since they got married. There was a time when Spencer said, Hannah, I would like for you to be my wife. I will give you the moon. Isn't that what we all say, right? I will make you the best husband in the world. I will promise you that. I will promise you that. Will you be my wife? That was his call. Come to me. Be a part of me. Therefore, for this reason, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. They shall become one flesh. He was trying to make a union, right? She had to do what? Could she say, I'll think about it? No. There wouldn't have been a union. She could have said no. There wouldn't have been a union. She said what? Said yes. I want to simplify this so that we can all understand. When God's calling comes, he accepts one answer. If you want to be a part of him, be combined with him, be in union with him, he accepts yes. Not maybe. Not wait a little bit. But we get busy, don't we? I tell you, we get busy. Hold on 1 minute. Just hold on. I've got this going on. I got this going on. Listen, I would do it right now, but I can't. I just can't. You don't understand what I've got going on. I've got responsibilities at work. I've got children. I've got this. I've got that. And you'll have something else next week. See, to answer a calling, it's not always the most convenient thing. God's not going to pick a time where he says, hey, listen, this is the perfect time. Let me just lay this right out in your lap, and it's going to work out. It doesn't happen that way. We don't plan for those things. But here's the thing. In that time, understand, he can give you an opportunity to represent your calling and do your calling when you're on top of the world and you're sharing the favor of God about blessings, or when the bottom has fallen out and you're ministering to people out of your grief and sorrow. Like the song says, the sorrow has a way of changing your heart. It brings you close to God. People minister more in that than they do the other way. Why? It requires more trust. Bottom line, it requires more trust. This is like our call to salvation by God. You realize He calls us to come to Him. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." This is Jesus' words. John 7:37 says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Still, there's that plea, right? John 6:37 says, "All that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Isn't that a praise? No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter how much we've disappointed Him, no matter how bad we've been, come to me and I will not cast you out. What a call to service. That's our call to salvation. And then Paul, the way he puts it in verse 13 of Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever? Are you a whosoever? Praise God, we're whosoevers. Listen to our calling in the last chapter in the Bible. God wanted to make sure that we knew this in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. He wanted to make sure before we shut our Bible, before we closed it, we would hear His last call from the words of Jesus revealed, the revelation of Jesus Christ to John. Listen. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Glory to God. Is that a call? Yes, it's the first call. It says, come to me. Don't worry about what you're going to do. Don't worry about where you're going to work. If the company calls you and says, hey, listen, we want you to come in and be a part of this company. I can't tell you exactly what you're going to do, but you're going to want to be a part of this company. Listen, this is the way God is saying, come to me, then I'll give you your calling as to what you need to do. And it's going to change. How many people know that as your situations change, your calling changes? Our calling is to come to God, period. God's calling. He wants us to accept the call to come to Him, to be a part of Him. This is the first call that we have to answer. We answer this call by doing these three things. I'll make it simple. You might be in here today, or you might be listening somewhere. You might be driving down the road in your car. You might be in front of your screen looking at the website. You might be listening to a podcast, jogging around a track. Let me make this simple so that you can understand how simple God says His call is. But you see, it's not just His call, it's our answer to His call. Get this. The first thing that you have to do to answer God's call, His first call, is you have to believe. You have to acknowledge your belief that God is who He says He is, and that Jesus is who He says He is, and that we can only get to God through Jesus. You have to believe that He is who He says He is. Our most simple verse that we say all the time, John 3:16, say it with me. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," now stop on this word, "that whosoever" what?
Believe.
Say it again.
Believe.
One more time.
Believe.
Believeth in what?
Him.
Not the church, not the organization, not the religion. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The first thing we have to do is believe. But not just believe that God is a God somewhere. Believe our only way to get to Him, as Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the only way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." We have to believe that, accept it. You say, okay, I'm there. What's the next way? Second thing you do to answer His call is you have to confess. In this confession is not just saying it in a blatant way to say, "Yeah, God, I've sinned. I've done all those things." That's not the confession He's talking about. He's saying admitting your guilt in a sorrowful way. We call that repentance. Repentance is change. Listen, the second thing we have to do to answer his call is confess that we're a sinner, repent of that sin, and ask him for forgiveness. The Bible tells us, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the word of God, guys. There has to be a recognition that we're guilty. We have to confess. That's how we answer his call, or else we just sit back there and never answer his call. Some people don't answer. Some people say, I'm too busy. Some people just say, I don't even believe in what you're doing, so I'm not going to acknowledge it. Those non-answers are a refusal of the call. If I call my son and tell him to come up here, and he says, I will, but I can't right now, that's a refusal of my call. There's only one answer. What's the answer? Yes. What we have to see is that God wants to see us recognize we're a sinner. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, right? For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wants us to be able to say, we come to you and submit ourselves to you. And then thirdly, by accepting his call to salvation, by answering his call with a yes. This is the call that Paul was talking about in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to understand, I saw something beautiful in this verse. This simple verse we've read all the time. Say it with me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Seems so simple. Do you know that that's not talking about God's call? That's talking about our call back. Remember those guys that I called that never called back? That's what's required to ever even come into fellowship with God. You have to have his call, but then guess what he wants from us? It's this simple, a call back. Right? Ben. I got a yes, sir. Nathan, it's a call back. They can't even start the conversation without that. We can't give instruction. That's what God wants from us, right? He just wants a response back. The response is our call back to him. We're waiting on God's calling. He's waiting on our call. Why haven't you called me? I used to think when my mom and dad, and I was busy with life and in college and getting out and then career. They said, why hadn't you called? Why hadn't you called? I've been busy. This is going on. You know how it is. I've been busy. And then I turn into dad and I think, why hadn't you called? I just want a response. I just want a call. Why are you so busy? I busied my way away from my heavenly Father when he had stuff he wanted to call me to do, but I never even answered that call. I answered the call of salvation because that was good for me. I mean, I'm going to avoid hell. Yeah, that works for me. I get to walk with God. That works. Hey, listen, I realize that I truly believe. So, yes, I'm answering that call. And I had to call back and cry out to God, yes. When that preacher preached, if I refused the call of God that night, when he preached that Jesus died for my sins, and if I didn't know that I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I was saved, that I needed to come and ask God to save me because God loved me and I understood the love of God was real and I understood that I couldn't get to him any other way, I fell on my knees and I said, God, I'm a sinner. The devil's all in my mind, and he's trying to convince me I am saved, I'm not saved. Listen, I want to clear it all right here on the steps of Spruce Street, Independent Missionary Fundamental Baptist Church over in Lexington, North Carolina. I bowed down one Sunday night, and I said, Lord, I called back to him. And then I was ready to hear the next calling, which I didn't do so well with. I did for a while, but anybody, it's not just me we're talking about, is it? If your calling don't work too good for you, you tend to say, can you give me something else? Because something else, something that works for me, that's going to lead to a lot of heartache, a lot of peace, and a lot of separation from God. Because it won't require any trust. You see, we have to answer his call of salvation by calling back to him saying, Lord, I believe. Lord, I confess my sin. Lord, save me from my sin so I can come to you. The picture of this is Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. There's the invitation. Mike, you're going to let me in? I'm calling. What's my response? Reach and open the door. So we need to understand that we can't walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called, as we read in Ephesians 4, unless first we answer the call to come to God through Jesus Christ. When someone gets saved, they're calling back to God saying, Lord, I hear you calling, and I'm saying what? One simple word, yes. So a lot of us find ourselves in this position. We've answered the call of salvation by God. We're Christians. We've become a part of him, just like a company or a school or a marriage proposal. We have answered and said yes, and now we're joined together with God. Now what? Now, just like these other things, we have to walk in that calling. But not just walk in it, walk worthy of the calling. Is this important? Well, yes. The word walk is used repeatedly in the New Testament. It's a way of being able to say this represents our daily conduct, whether in speech, in thought, in deed. But worthy is how we're supposed to conduct ourselves in our actions and our speech, knowing that we're representing ourselves as someone who's a child of God. Somebody that's a child of God, should they represent themselves different than somebody else? I've told you before, I told my children two things when they left my house. Remember who you are and remember whose you are. Two things. That's what God's telling us. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. Remember who you're representing. God calls you in your daily actions every day to do what you need to do. He might call you to go and be able to do the greatest thing and perform some song and make people cheer. Then he might call you to an individual person who's in a time of need just to go and minister, or to the person nobody likes, or to the person that's in a bad way, or to the person that's trapped in sin. Or he might call you in a moment of sorrow to express how you're dealing with his trust. You see, his calling is always different, and it changes from day to day and from life to life. And he lets us go through things and actually puts us through things so that he can make sure that we're being able to follow his calling in all areas. You never appreciate things until you do without them. And then when you minister without them, you have validity. You see, in the same way that we answer any other calling, we're expected not to just be a part of the Christian group. We're asked to contribute our part to strengthen the union that we have with God Almighty. And this is what God is telling us to do. He'll always give us opportunities to answer his daily calling, to serve him back. The most important way, above and beyond anything, is just, and I've told you this for weeks, listen, you don't have to be so intensive on your calling to say, I wonder what exactly he's wanting me to do. I wonder what it is. What does God want you to do? First and foremost, tell me, please. Love him back. Love him back. How do you do that? Well, how do you love anybody back? Do it that way. Love him back. Make it simple. I find out that I've disqualified several days lately if I just use that one criteria, because in my quest to follow his calling that day, I can say I didn't love him back. I loved myself a lot more that day than I loved him, right? So I can use it to qualify and to quantify different days that I've had, right? I didn't follow my calling on those days. And we have a calling every day. Then we need to obey him. We need to trust him. We need to praise him. We need to worship him. We need to speak to him. We need to listen to Him. We need to speak for Him. We need to teach others about Him. We need to look for ways to serve Him. If we've answered God's call to salvation, then He saved us from being in bondage to sin. He's basically freed us from being a servant to sin and set us free from sin to serve Him. You're going to serve something in this world. We're awful vain to think we're not. I'm my own man. You've never been your own man. You're going to serve something in this world. Today, I think about Paul's comment, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. Paul understood something. He explained it. And I'm going to close with this scripture. It would do us good to humble ourselves to this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Think about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul put it pretty clearly. Verses 22 through 24. I want to read you what he said. He said, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant." Isn't that big? That's a juicy piece of scripture right there. You know why? He's telling me, hey, listen, I used to be a servant, and I served what? I served myself, so I served sin. He called me and freed me from that, so I'm free. But don't be thinking I'm free, because I was called from my freedom of what I think I am running myself into my servanthood to Him. You say, is that a bad thing? I'm back in servantship. No, you're serving a master that loves you, that wants to take care of you, that wants to bless you, that's giving you eternal security, an inheritance that will never fade away. He's given you everything in the world. He's the best master. As a matter of fact, you're better under His care than you are under your own. And guess what He's going to do every day? He's going to give you a job. You say, well, I'm waiting. You don't have to wait. When you wake up in the morning, you see a wife beside of you, your job is to be the husband you need to be and lead her in a godly way. If you see a husband beside of you, you need to do the same thing. If you see children underneath you, you need to be able to lead them in God. Then that's your calling to do that. If you have somebody working beside of you, your calling is to make sure they see Christ in you. Your calling is to make sure they know the gospel of Christ. If you have somebody in your family that's in a bad time of need, your calling is to be able to pour into them. If you see somebody that's called that's in a desperate need and they're poor, your calling is to give to them. If you see some work that needs to be done, your calling is to do it. If you see somebody that needs to be lifted up, your calling is to do it. If you see a song that needs to be sung, your calling is to sing it. If you see a road that needs to be walked, your calling is to walk it. If you see somebody that's stooped down and they're lower than they can be, your calling is to pick them up. And if you're in that position, your calling is to represent the peace of God that passeth understanding while you're in that position. You've got a calling no matter what you're doing, no matter what day it is. And you have thousands of different callings because you're around thousands of different situations. You have a calling when you don't have money. You have a calling when you do have money. You have a calling when you don't have health. You have a calling when you do have health. You have a calling when you're on top of the world and you feel like I'm blessed with favor. You have a calling when nothing in the world seems like it's going right. You've got a calling. And you've got to walk worthy of your calling. That's what He tells us to do. My question to end with, first of all, would be, have you answered His first calling? Because it doesn't matter how many mission trips you go on. It doesn't matter how much money you put in the plate. It doesn't matter how much you've given to UNICEF and any other kind of ministry. It doesn't matter how many programs you've started, how many choirs you've sung. And if you've never answered His first calling that says, come to Me, and you've come to Him and confessed you believe in Him, confessed you're a sinner, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and accepted Him as your Savior, then you don't need to worry about any other calling, because that's a calling you're making up. You got to accept the first calling, which is come to Me and be saved. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. That's what Jesus said in John 3. So decide today, if you know that you know that you know that you know that you've accepted that first calling. If you haven't, you'll have a chance to respond. And you can respond like these guys did in children's sermon. You can either say, yes, Lord, and come and say, I want to come to you. Or you can say, I'm not going to answer, or I'm busy right now, or maybe later. But anything other than yes is not an answer that God wants. And we think, well, we'll do it later. You see, we can't call back until God calls first. You don't know that He'll call you again. If you've answered that call and you've become a Christian, well, I guess the question that we've talked about all day, are you walking in your calling? Can I tell you something by experience? I wish I couldn't say this to you. You can be confident in your salvation. But if you're not walking in your calling, you're not going to enjoy your Christian life. It's a miserable thing. I've been a miserable Christian before. This was miserable. This relationship was miserable. This thing was miserable. Why? I wasn't walking in my calling. I don't have to know what to do. I just have to be willing to do it. Part of my calling is the worship of the Lord faithfully. Part of my calling is to be able to praise Him. Part of my calling is my everyday conversation with Him. Part of my calling is to minister to other people, whether I was a pastor or not. That's just our calling. If I'm not doing it, if I'm not living for Him, if my speech doesn't represent Him, if I'm not dwelling on Him, if I'm not serving Him, you're going to be miserable. You're going to go from one dilemma to the next dilemma because you're not going to have any peace, and it's only going to get you to a point to where you have to call on Him. He's gracious that way. And you know all He's wanting you to do? This is after you become a Christian. The same thing that any father wants. Call me back. Just call me back. I got something I want you to do. Do it for me. Why? Just do it because you love me. You don't have to understand. Have I ever led you wrong? No. That's what our Heavenly Father says. You say, what will I get for that? Incredible peace. I've walked without it. I've walked with it. Let me tell you, I don't want to go back. And see, me or you, either one don't have the power to walk worthy of our calling. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. We have power to walk worthy of the calling. Father God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you've said. I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that hearts are tender, receptive today, and that there's a response to your calling. Lord, if you're calling somebody this morning to salvation, Lord, let it be so clear. Your words that have been read through the Bible, those words were a call. If that person is listening today, no matter where they're at, I pray, God, for their response to you. I pray their heart is tender. They confess their belief in you. They confess their sin and ask for forgiveness, knowing that you will. And Lord, they accept you as their Savior. Ask you to be Lord of their life. I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, compel them to open that door as you called them this morning. Let them be sure. Let them be completely sure. Don't let them leave here. Don't let them quit listening until they pray this prayer. And I pray, God, for Christians that are listening, that are here today. Lord, you've called us. You've been so gracious to call us. We didn't deserve your salvation, but Lord, you said no matter what we've done, you've given us a chance to answer your call. You called us, Lord. You gave your Son. He bled. He died. He was crucified. He was mocked. All those things, Lord, so that we could come to you. And thank you for calling us. Thank you for letting us accept that salvation. But God, we've been a little selfish. We accepted what we wanted, what worked out good for us. But Lord, we've shied away from those things that are not convenient for us. Lord, show us ourselves today. Lord, as we rededicate ourselves to you today and your calling, Lord, let us rise up from prayer today and have the greatest amount of peace, knowing we've responded to your voice, and let the Holy Spirit strengthen us to walk in our calling. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this is our invitation time. So I don't know if you knew it or not, but from 11:15 to 12 o'clock, you heard me speak. And I didn't speak of my own. I read his word. You say, what does that mean? Well, that was a call to you. He's always calling you. Always calling you. Always calling me. This is an invitation. This is your chance to respond to the call. So if you stand with me, we sing this song. This is your time to respond to his call. If you're here today, you're not completely sure that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've heard him call you today. It is for sure. It's been laid out right in front of you to know that he loves you, that Jesus died for you, and your only way to get to God is to answer his call today. I'm going to be standing right here today. Right now, your heart is beating 90 miles a minute. It does not matter, because the devil wants you to leave here without answering his call. Please come and pray with me. Give your heart to the Lord, not because I ask you to, but because God is calling you and he loves you. He gave so much for you to be a part of him. Come and get saved today. I'll pray with you. You'll leave knowing that you've come into a relationship with God today, and then he'll give you the calling for the rest of your life. And Christian, don't leave here today not talking to God about what specifically he wants you to do. Let him lead you in your calling. Come and just talk to him. Tell him you're just loving him back, and if you know an area for sure that you haven't done that he's wanted you to do, ask him to give you strength. He'll give you strength to carry out the calling. Use this time to talk to him. We're going to sing page 233 today. You can pray or you can sing. The altar's open for you, but we'll use this invitation time. Don, will you come and lead us?